How did this simple gift for her mom turn into a million-dollar empire overnight?
The notifications would not stop. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. In our first 30 days, we made $100,000. I wanted to shut it all down.
Here's how one video and a $300 embroidery machine changed this family's life forever.
We passed $1 million in less than a year.
Watch as she reveals her exact blueprint to making millions without spending a dime on ads.
It's a lot less about luck than you think. We moved offices 3 times in a year. That's how fast you can grow with social media.
This is everyone's biggest mistake when it comes to turning followers into customers.
So you're saying anybody can do this?
I think it's totally possible.
So 100,000 first month, 1 million in the first year at the age of 19, which is incredible. So before we get into your story, tell us what Soulmate Customs is all about and how far you've come.
Yeah, so we take people's pictures, we turn them into outlined art, so we hand draw them, and then we embroider them onto a ton of different products like hoodies, sweatshirts, blankets, teddy bears, or engrave them onto jewelry like necklaces, keychains, and a ton of other products.
What about, how big is your staff?
We have 20 plus people currently.
Wow.
It always varies, but currently 20 plus.
And when did you start, Kata?
We started 3 years ago in 2021. It was insane. I honestly never expected it. When we launched Soulmate Customs, I got that first cha-ching with my first order. And I went up to my mom. I'm like, Mom, oh my God, look, Soulmate Customs. Like, it's from this business. We just got our first order. And we were like jumping up and down. We're like, only in 4 days we got our first ever order. That's wild, right? And then once I got that first order, I started taking a video of it and I posted on TikTok like, oh my God, guys, I got my first ever order, and I vlogged it, and that video started going viral.
And then I see hundreds of people all of a sudden are following, commenting the most supportive comments ever, and I realized we are going viral.
Freaking out. It was like one of the best periods of time. I'll never forget it.
How did you come up with the concept in the first place? What's the story on that?
So I was looking for a gift for my mom's 50th birthday, and I couldn't find anything that was genuinely unique enough to gift her. I really wanted her to feel extra special, so I went on Google and I searched gift for moms. The same boring ideas would pop up, like get your mom flowers, get her like a t-shirt that says I love you mom. After basically getting fed up with it, I thought of the idea one day, what if I just create something myself? And then the idea popped up for me to just take a picture of me and my mom, outline it on my iPad, and then turn it into like a USB file to then be embroidered onto a sweatshirt. That's exactly what I did.
How did it turn into a gift for mom? But then here we are, it's a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah, so when I first made the sweatshirt, I genuinely did not think much of it. I was like, it's a cool gift, she's gonna like it, but never thought she would have that crazy reaction that she did have. She started crying, and I was like, what? And then she said, Kata, this is the most special thing I've ever gotten in my life.
Wow.
And almost immediately after, she's like, let's start a business out of this. This is genius.
All right, well, I'm excited to see the entire process from start to finish, and I'll follow your lead.
Yeah, so actually your team sent me a picture of you and your family, so we might make something extra special for you. Let's go and
do it. That's cool, little rascals you guys are. All right. All right, so this is one of your inventory rooms, right?
Yes.
Gotcha. You're kind of outgrowing the space already.
Yes, we are. We've already actually changed 3 office locations in 3 years. In the first year, we changed 2 office spaces, I believe. And then 3 years in, we have this big place that we're at, but still we're outgrowing it. So it's pretty thankful for it.
Nice. Journey continues. Well, let's ask you about the first, a couple weeks, $100,000 in the first 30 days. What was that like? How did you start? Was it 200 bucks you started with? Give us a little story there.
Yeah, so I started first with a $300 embroidery machine. And in the first week of business, once we got that first order, we went viral on TikTok. So that first video that we ever created, it converted like crazy. As I said, 3,000 to 4,000 orders in just a couple of weeks. It was crazy.
Wow, why did it do so well, the video? I'm especially curious.
I think it was emotional and it was very authentic. People saw it and they're like, this is so sweet how humble this girl is that she just got her first order. I guess people also liked and loved the idea behind the business. So a ton of people were ordering and supporting. It was incredible.
Wow, in the first month, how many total orders?
We made our first 100K on our first month of business.
And that's the time your mom wanted to continue and you were like freaking out a little bit?
It was crazy. I remember in our first 2-3 weeks when we had thousands of orders coming in, I was in my parents' like small apartment with one $300 embroidery machine. And I remember I went up to my mom and I'm like, Mom, how are we gonna
fulfill it?
How are we gonna fulfill all this, right? And I told my mom, like, Mom, I really think we should stop the shop. Like, we're not gonna be able to fulfill all this. And she looked me in the eye and she's like, Kata, that is the last thing we are going to do. The last thing to do is put out the fire, right? You're gonna keep it going. So we're gonna find our way and we're gonna do it.
That's amazing. We'll talk about how she managed all those orders later on in the video, so keep watching. For now, what are we picking here? What's the process?
Let's do
one for my wife.
You want a hoodie?
Yeah, let's see. Is this a medium? I think that's what we need, right? I'll let you take the reins.
Let's do it.
All right. So other than the first video, are there any others that have brought you a large influx of business? And if so, why did they work? Let's kind of hone in on the detail specifics of those videos.
The biggest thing is do not sell. Anyone who sees you trying to sell, they immediately get off put by it. When you sell by emotion, that's when people are really okay. Like, they're not forcing me to buy anything, but they're just showing a story from one of their customers or showing like a really funny video. Every single time that I post something and I'm like, hey, like, this is my small business, like, purchase from me, who's gonna care? Like, there's thousands and millions of businesses out there that, you know, promote their products. What does a person care about that?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. What makes you different, right?
Exactly. So I have a lot of friends that are like, how do you do it? And what do I do? What do I need to invest? I'm like, absolutely nothing. I've paid videographers, I've paid editors, and I paid thousands of dollars for them to you know, be cutting up and making the perfect videos. Every single time they flop. But when it's just my phone, quality is lower. That's when people really love the authenticity. They really do. So at least in my experience, always the videos that are the less effort, those are the ones that go viral.
So between your office, your materials, supplies, etc., what's your monthly overhead? Just curious.
So usually we spend around $150,000 to $250,000, depending on the season.
Mm-hmm. That's per month, or are you talking about a 12-month period?
Per month.
That's a large number.
Yeah.
How does it feel like being responsible for it at like the age of 22?
I will tell you, it gets very stressful. It's not just about, you know, the expenses, the rent of the office and like all of the expenses of the material. Most importantly, it's our staff that we have to pay and we have to constantly be keeping them in work. And if they don't have work, they have, you know, families to take care of. So it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress behind it, totally.
When it comes to inventory, Kata, what inventory lessons have you learned along the way? Maybe the hard way.
I definitely learned a very hard way, which is purchasing too many items when they didn't sell out, because I just like kind of guess it and play the guessing game. Mm-hmm. And it just never turned out well, especially when it's already made products. I actually still have boxes that have not been sold for years.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Is there any software or apps that you're using for inventory management, or how are you keeping track of that?
No, currently, no, really? Just Shopify.
Okay, everything through that platform.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, question for you. Do you think having an idea and a product is all that it takes to be successful, or timing, connections, who you know, plays a big role? Love to know what your thoughts are. Comment below. I'll ask Kata later on. All right, let's grab our hoodie and go to the next process, which would be, what is it? Prepping it, cleaning it, or just
hooping
embroidering?
It. We're going to hoop it.
Hoop it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go hoop the hoodie. Basically, just stretching it out and prepping it for the embroidery machine?
Exactly. We take this hoop first. And we put it under the hoodie. You have to be very careful, because if it's a little bit slanted, then it'll be wonky here.
Now, you've been doing this from day one, obviously. Nobody taught you to do anything. All on your own. It's amazing.
YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, YouTube tutorials. There's a ton of resources out there.
Totally.
What's that going in for?
We put the backing paper. It like smooths the embroidery. It also like seals it in. There we go.
Gotta make
now
it perfect.
Now we put the hooping.
Oh, so it goes into that frame.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's talk about your design process. An image comes in from a customer. What does that process look like before it hits the final product?
Yeah, so the minute that a customer submits an order, it automatically gets assigned to one of our outliners. Usually it takes probably around an hour to actually take that outline and start working on it. And then once they work on it, they send it to our group chat. In that group chat, our digitizer grabs that design and he starts digitizing it. So he puts it into like a machine coded so that the machine understands how to embroider it.
Language.
Our team member prints out the shipping labels and she puts them together with the USBs. We bring them over here. We grab the inventory. We start hooping them. Mm-hmm. Then we put them on machines. Once they're done from the machines, they get put into these baskets over here. And on those baskets, I usually look on them so that I can choose which ones do I want to record and which ones not. And then from there, I put the others to packing. And that's pretty much
how it works. That's pretty much it. So you actually take customers' hoodies with their design and do videos about it?
Yeah, so we do have an option where it says, like, if you want to opt out of being filmed or not. That's like also another reason which incentivizes our customers to purchase from us, because we're always recording and there's so many videos of stories that go viral all the time. Mm-hmm. So people love seeing their orders on social media, on our stories, on TikToks, and on different platforms.
That's pretty clever, because I thought, well, wait, that's their design. Like, don't show it to the world. But people are actually saying, no, do it if you can.
Oh, yeah.
They feel great. You get the content and it's a win-win.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, what kind of numbers are you guys doing today in terms of revenue?
Yeah, so in our first year of business, in actually exactly 11 months, we hit our first seven figures, and that was with zero ad spend, which is so mind-blowing. So it was just with my little TikToks that I would film. Mm-hmm. And then up until this day, we're multiple seven figures a year.
At age 19, how did it feel to make so much money, essentially almost overnight? Any mistakes, any regrets? What are some lessons that you learned, especially in those moments?
I mean, it was incredible, of course. As I said, I never expected for us to be making so much money immediately as we started. I was super happy with, like, the one order we made in the first 4 days. So, let alone then having 100K in our first month, it was absolutely crazy. We did reinvest, like, basically every penny back into the business. And to this day, that's what we continue doing. There's so much, right? There's so much to do. So with that capital that we do have, we don't have any investors. Everything is just by us with, mm-hmm. All the sales that we get. So it's really important for us to stay focused and just keep on reinvesting everything back into the business.
So you haven't splurged in any way as a 22-year-old now, right? You didn't buy a Ferrari or Porsche. You're all in on the business, is what you're saying. what would you buy?
Me and my brother bought, like, one car that we both share together. And, like, it is, like, a nice car.
Okay.
It's a BMW.
Nice.
So it's a BMW i4. So
good choice.
Scratching that creative itch by mastering a new skill can unlock opportunities you've never dreamed of. And with Skillshare, leveling up is easier than ever before. Skillshare is the largest online learning community for creatives by creatives, offering a wide range of classes taught by industry pros in areas like film, design, entrepreneurship, productivity, and more. Skillshare members can go from beginner to expert in months, not years. Personally, I'm interested in learning more about their YouTube success course from legendary YouTuber Marcus Brownlee. Their curated learning paths offer a structured sequence of classes to help you refine the skills you're passionate about at your own pace, while actually putting those skills to use with projects and feedback from the community. So the first 500 people to use the link in the description will get a 1 month free trial of Skillshare. Join the thousands of others and uncover your potential today on Skillshare.
All right, with time with Kata. You ready?
Let's do it.
What was your first big splurge in that first year of success?
Easy, embroidery machines.
What's the most unusual custom request you've received?
The spicy ones get me every single time. They get wild.
What's your most viral TikTok? How many views did it get?
It was one TikTok. I think it went up to 35 million views.
Wow.
That's just in one platform. But it was one that we had an intern. It was her first day working for us. And she saw an order with someone's boyfriend who passed away with angel wings. She started crying. She came into my office and she's like, can I step out? She was crying her eyes out. And I'm like, what happened? And then I realized, and I'm like, I filmed a video of the whole process. Of course, I asked her, and that just went super viral. So,
what's the best and worst part of being an entrepreneur at such a young age?
Like, being able to help other people, whether that's our own customers who record themselves crying their eyes out because they can finally wear whoever it might be, right, who passed away, or if it's our team members, like, they can take care of our families, and I can't believe that I'm a source that I can help other people take care of their families. It's mind-blowing to me.
What's your dream collaboration and why?
Sarah Blakely, easy. Sarah Blakely, she's my favorite person on earth, best business owner ever, so I would dream.
Cool. What's one thing most people don't know about you?
Probably the singing aspect.
Same.
I think a lot of people who know me for business, they don't know that I would sing before and I used to be on stages.
If you weren't running Soulmate Customs, what would it be? What would you be doing instead?
Singing and acting.
Okay. Do you have any jobs that could be done remotely? The person says, I love the business and I'm curious a lot about out-of-state work.
We do. Our outliners are all remote, and there's a lot of other positions that are remote as well.
Okay, boom. How much does this machine, by the way, cost?
This one is actually our first ever commercial embroidery machine. So from that $300 machine, this is what we purchased, and it's $22,000.
$22,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta spend money to make money, right? And how long does this process take once you get everything set up, hit start?
Usually our designs are about 15 to 20 minutes, and we don't want it longer than that. And then if it's a really detailed design, it can go up to 40 minutes, which is difficult for us.
All right, you have an incredible amount of reviews on your website, over 5,000, which is amazing, 5 stars. Let's talk about how you approach maintaining quality with so many orders being pumped out, customer service, and what are you doing with the staff as well to help communicate with all that?
I think for us, it's really important. Since we first started our business, it was really important for me. If our target audience currently is Gen Z, mm-hmm. then we have all of our team be trained to speak the Gen Z language. So especially for our customer service, of course, customer service is also like an aspect of sales. So you want to make sure that you're super friendly and you're speaking to them. Our business is really like a community. It's not just like a customer, they purchase once and they're out. So, like, we have so many people, like, literal supporters. Mm-hmm. We get fan mail all the time, which is like so wild to me. But I always tell our customer service, there's going to be a ton of customers that are going to reach out to us, and they're going to write in all caps, "Oh my god, I am so excited for this new product to roll out." And I tell them, please feel free, use all of the funny emojis, repeat like how they're speaking to you. So if they're in all caps, you write in all caps as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be that, you know, boring, super professional type of. We're different. Like, I want us to be different in a way that we're very kind of friendly, and we treat our supporters and our customers like friends,
yeah.
not just like a customer service type of relationship.
Well, let's get this thing rolling. Let it do its thing. What does it say in terms of time? Oh, it says 23 minutes.
23 minutes. You want to click the green button?
Yeah, I can click the green button. Yeah, it's rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll let it do what it's doing. Let's go check out the offices. I've got some amazing questions for you.
Let's do it.
I'll follow you. Very beautiful office. Any cool stories about these photos? Some of the originals, maybe?
Yeah, actually, a kind of cool story, but like, it was a failure. I thought of the idea, what if we print out customer's picture and we provide them like a little painting kit so they can paint it themselves? I thought it was really cool. Then we launched them, and then nothing happened. Yeah.
That's okay. That's the evolution of a business.
Yeah, it's like a museum over here, the failure museum.
How much capacity do you have out there in terms of how much volume you can pump out in terms of embroidery? What do you think you're ready for?
Yeah, so for embroidery, currently we can make up to like 300
per day.
Wow. Hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts.
That's a lot. How many people have to staff all that production?
With those machines that we do have, there has to be at least like maybe 2 people, sometimes 1 if that one person is like super on it, but usually 2 people can make sure all of the embroidery machines are going at all times.
Well, let's ask you about your upbringing. Who were you before Soulmate Customs? What was the upbringing like? I know you guys immigrated, so what are some stories and lessons there?
My parents have been in business their entire lives, and they had a business in Europe, but for me, I've always been in the entertainment industry, so I used to sing and act, and anytime anyone would tell me, like, Kata, what else do you want to do in life? And I'm like, nothing. There is no plan B. I'm going to be a singer and an actress, and no one's going to say otherwise. Nothing. So plans changed, and things happened, and actually when COVID hit, that's when the auditions shut down, so there was nothing really to do, and I was like, okay, let me start like Depop shops and some small shops, since also TikTok was a thing. So that's when I kind of built that little experience to then hop onto a venture like Soulmate Customs.
Before we ask you about how your leadership style evolved, right, as a 19-year-old who started the business, hiring older folks, and just overall management in general, this wall looks pretty cool. Is it just default, or is there some stories here? I'm curious.
It does have a lot of meaning. I mean, we have me over here, of course.
In the center, right?
This is me and my mom. I didn't know it would be so low, but this is me and my mom when we had a photo shoot. And then here is the computer. We wanted to launch July 1st, 1111, because it's a number for me and my mom. Like, yeah. We relate to it, right? And we were waiting until the moment 1111, and that's when we were both holding hands. And my mom made a prayer, and she said, I hope this is the business that becomes successful as a mother-daughter business. She's always dreamt of, since I was born, she always dreamt that she would have a successful business with her daughter. And crazy, but that prayer at 1111 on July 1st actually worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you started young. And so when it comes to leadership, what's your advice? What's your tip? How did you evolve as well as a leader within the organization?
Yeah, well, I didn't know that going into business leadership is such an important skill, and now I really understand. So now I'm kind of in a moment in my life that I'm all the time just looking for more information and how to learn and just become a better leader for our team members.
How did you overcome the lack of confidence, I would imagine, right?
I think it's just from experience.
Yeah.
There's no other way to overcome any fear that you have other than hitting it head on. I would have people that were way older than me coming into the office and I would interview them. When I would call them back, they would always look at me odd, like, is this really who's interviewing me? Like this kid, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid.
That's expected, yeah.
Yeah, and then I would call them back because we just needed people to help us and they wouldn't come. So then at one point, I went up to my mom and dad and I'm like, Mom, Dad, can you come into the interviews and like be with me because no one's coming back for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it just, based on experience, we always shifted, you know, until we found the thing that works. This is for every aspect in our business.
What were some of the biggest lessons you learned having gone through the past couple years growing, building your business?
There's so many, but I think one of the most important that I'm still learning throughout this day is not being perfect. I know everyone says it and no one really understands, but like not being perfect is so incredibly important and crucial in business, because if you wait until that perfect moment for every single thing, it's gonna take months, not years to actually implement. So
let's freaking do this.
I think scrappy should be a perfect word to kind of talk about like how you should be in business. Scrappiness is very important. Mm-hmm. Of course, there has to be organization in between as well, but at least for us, scrappiness has been a huge thing. Just go into it. Don't wait until the perfect moment because it'll simply never be perfect.
Right, yeah, well said. If you guys are inspired by Kata's journey, do us a huge favor, hit that like and subscribe button. Not only gives us a pat on the back, but helps us bring on more and more incredible entrepreneurs like Kata. Well, I'm excited to see the final version of the hoodie. Do you think it's ready yet?
I think so.
Okay, let's go. Let's go see it. Well, that looks pretty cool. You guys get a close-up look. That looks like my family.
Oh,
My girls.
Beautiful family.
Well, let's go make some content with this.
Perfect.
Behind the scenes, making a live TikTok video. This is how it happens. Just random inspiration, random music, right?
Let's do it.
All right, let's try it out.
Okay.
So the Do You Know Them is trending, so we're going to go with that one.
Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Do you know them?
That was perfect.
Do you know them?
That was perfect. Let's go. So you can record me.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
No.
But in Declare, we all fam.
Do you know them?
No.
But in Declare, we all fam.
What?
In Declare, we all fam.
I don't.
In the club, we are all family.
That was the one.
This is my first exposure to making a TikTok video. After 205 interviews of Upflip, this is 101 for me. Awesome, man. You got a pretty good looking setup here.
Thank you. Thank you. I try my best.
How do you choose which orders to create content around? I'm curious about that.
It depends because I'm always looking at customer orders, and whenever I get an idea, I usually record it on the whim. Mm-hmm. And also something that I do to have efficiency when recording, since it's such a big part of our business, is I don't take more than 10 minutes to film a video. If it's taking me more than 10 minutes, it's out. Mm-hmm. Next. So
you've built your business entirely essentially on TikTok. Can you give our audience a step-by-step simple blueprint on how they can do the same in any business, a business?
Totally. Number one most important thing is consistency. No matter how great you think you are or how bad you think you are, simply just post. That is like incredibly important. Post as many times as you possibly can. Don't be posting 8 on one day and then the next day you don't post, the next day you post like 2. Consistency is everything. The amount of times that I've had to drag myself, no matter if I think I look good or if I feel feel terrible, doesn't matter.
From equipment standpoint, I think the step would be don't splurge on too much equipment, right? We have two iPhones here and a couple lights and that's it.
It's like Vine. Just the silliest, smallest videos would get the most views. I think those are super important. Another one is, of course, selling. Like, do not sell. Always be super authentic. The more you try not to sell, the more people are like, oh, hey, like, cool, let me buy, you know? So even on the caption, make it super Gen Z, make it super, you know, chill vibes, and then just link in bio is what we have. That's really all we do.
What's the most stressful part of operating this business, and how have you learned to manage it?
I would definitely say seasonality. Seasonality is really big, is a really big one. I think, you know, we're a gifting business, so it varies a lot with season, and we're trying to smooth that out as much as possible. But dealing with it, it's taking it easy. Taking it easy. There's just like, no matter what you could possibly do, if you don't just take it easy in here.
Yeah, mentally.
It's really, really important. You know, your health can downgrade because of that. But a couple of things that I do is going to the gym. It helps me a lot to just put out all of that frustration that happens or the stress that happens within the day. But also going out with people that can relate to you and that are in business. They understand, you know, where you're coming from and what you're saying, and they also help too. That's a big one. And then of course, meditating and doing all those things that can really help with your well-being.
You're heavily reliant on TikTok. So I'm just wondering, are you worried about that? How are you protecting your business moving forward? Because you're going to continue to scale, continue to grow.
For us, 40% of our business is organic, 40% is paid, and around 20% is email and SMS marketing.
Gotcha.
So of course, no matter what happens with TikTok, then we have all of those other marketing platforms. We also have, you know, of course, email and SMS and, you know, paid advertisements. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's, as I keep on saying, adaptability is super important, because there's going every single year, things are going to change. As long as you're an adaptable person and you're not, you don't take it with fear, then it's going to be fine. It's going to be stressful, but it's going to be fine.
Awesome. How many packages are going out of this place on a per day basis? And what systems have you implemented to make sure everything goes efficient and smooth?
Yeah, so we've shipped around 70,000 plus packages to date, which is pretty insane.
It is.
One thing that we recently added, actually, let me show you. So in all of the packing slips, I'm going to hide the address here, but in all the packing slips, we have a QR code that all of our team members scan. So if it's in the packaging station, our team members will scan it and put that the process is in packaging. And actually, all of the customers get notified through email what station that their order is.
So as soon as my order comes in, I know it's in process. And every step of the way, I get an update.
Yes.
All the way to shipping.
All the way to shipping or content creation. You get an email that says, Kata is actually filming your order.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
During peak season, the busiest time of your life, probably, how do you ensure quality control? What systems specifically are in place to make sure things are going out, happy customers?
Yeah, so we have one quality control specialist. So first of all, we train all of our team members, especially packaging, so that they can check all the order information, check everything so that they can make sure that the correct thing is being sent and everything looks good. If something doesn't look good, we send it right back to get re-embroidered or re-engraved.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a quality control specialist, which checks for everything.
It won't get shipped unless it's gone through that process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Now, when things do somehow slip through the cracks, what's your process of just correcting the situation?
So if it's something that's our mistake, absolutely, like immediately we will reship something. If it's like a hole in your order, if it's an embroidery error, if it's something that we did that the customer didn't request for any reason, then we will definitely redo the order for them and ship it right back out.
Early on, we asked everyone on their opinion if luck plays a role in entrepreneurs' journey, success. What do you say to that? What do you think about it?
I think it does have a lot to do with luck as well, but there's this saying that my mom always says, she says, the harder that you work, the luckier that you get. So while, of course, luck has a lot to do with what you do, you also have to be prepared for that opportunity, for the time that it comes. If you're not prepared and you do get the opportunity, what's going to happen with that?
Having achieved so much at your age, how do you stay focused, grounded, motivated, and so forth?
For me, it's super important to take time as much as I possibly can in a week to fill out my journal, which is giving out gratitude. Okay. I know a lot of things, I think now, I've come to a point where a lot of my dreams, and much more than my dreams, have come true.
And at this point, a lot of things happen and you get used to it, right? And you don't celebrate it as much. For me, I try to remind myself, it's really, really important to think back where you were 3 years ago. You wouldn't even have ever imagined you'd be at this point where you're at. So Kayda, take a step back and really understand what your life has turned into. It's super important to remember that, or else it's gonna get to your head. And that's my biggest fear. I never wanna get to my head. I always wanna stay humble. I wanna help people because it's so hard. It is so hard to get here. So I'm more than happy to help anyone that I possibly can with their journey.
All right, if Kayda's story inspired you, I've got exciting, incredible news for you. You guys can take the Upflip quiz today based on your personality, goals, and situation. And not only that, but you can also start and launch your business in 10 days guaranteed. I'm not joking about the guarantee. Check it out. Click the link in the description below and launch your business today. All right, well, let's go ship this thing out and get into some more questions.
Let's do it.
All right, so what are some last steps left before we package this thing and ship it out?
So now we're gonna lit roll it so we make sure there's no dust from this space. And then we're gonna cut some extra thread.
Yeah.
So we cut those so it's perfect. And then we fold it nicely.
You're the expert folder now. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. It's perfect. You know, like the salt guy?
Yeah. We'll get our soulmate touch here.
Perfection. See?
Nice.
Ta-da.
Sweet. And now we just put it in a bag and send it over to Germany.
Let's do it.
What prompted you to get into jewelry? And what percentage of your business is jewelry as of today?
I usually put out products that I personally really like because my target audience is kind of like me, right? Gen Z, young, and it's mostly females. So I thought it would be super cute. We started with our first necklace we ever put out was our heart necklaces. And the second I saw it from our manufacturer, I'm like, I want this because I would wear it myself. It ended up being a hit and it was really popular. So then we started expanding. One of our most top popular products is our tag necklaces. Those ones actually, I didn't really think they would succeed, but they completely surprised me. Our tag necklaces are complete top seller with our keychains as well.
With so many product lines, you've got jewelry, you've got the clothing line. How do you track how much inventory you need? What determines that? Is it a software or are you just kind of guessing a little bit at the moment?
We do definitely like guess in a way because usually we always tend to order based on how much we see people loving it. So in the very beginning, it's like a constant argument between me and my mom. She's always like, okay, we found like a piece we want to order or put out, right? And she's like, let's order 100. I'm like, no, let's order 5 pieces. Let's keep it at 5 pieces. Let me create some sample pieces, see how people like it. And then once we see how people like it, if there's a video that goes viral, you can immediately order it. And then it comes in within like 2 to 5 days. So it's not that big of an issue for us.
You have a ton of incredible user-generated content, which is pretty cool, right? What's your advice to others who need their customers to generate the content? And what's it doing to your marketing in general as well?
Push them. I think it's super important to be asking your customers and pushing them to be sending you, whether that's through your social media, posting videos of it constantly. I try to tend to make them funny and I'm like, please just give them to me, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can post on your story, or you can also go through the email marketing and SMS marketing route. Once they receive their order, you make sure to send them an email that says, if there's one thing you can do to really help our business, it's send us those personalized videos or like those surprise reactions. They're huge. Nowadays, my age uses TikTok as a search engine. They don't use Google as much as they use TikTok whenever they're trying to buy a product. If I'm trying to order a pair of shoes or whatever it might be, I swear, I am first going to search it up on TikTok, see the UGC, user generated content. Based on their reviews, I'm going to purchase it or not. This is me personally. Yeah. And I see a ton of other people doing that. So it's not even just the ROI of what you're going to get because, you know, people are going to, you know, open up their packages and post them on TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's simply the fact that even if it just has 10 views, there's going to be people watching that video and you need that. You need other people talking about your business because not everyone's just going to trust the business itself.
Well, the production, embroidery side, everything has been amazing. I think the only thing we haven't seen is the jewelry room and where all that magic happens. Take us there.
Do it.
How much have you sold going live and why does that work so well, you think?
It always varies between the live, but we've gotten up to $20,000 in one live.
And that's like, what, a 30-minute?
depends. Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes I used to go up to like 4 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Not the case anymore?
I got burned out from it. So I'm like, you know what? I need to chill a little bit. So now we go like up to an hour and I time them. So if we do like spin the wheels, you only have 30 minutes. You only have 1 hour to be, you know, purchasing something and get to spin the wheel and get something extra with your order for free. So we time them. So it also has that scarcity factor to it.
Why does it work so well, you think? What's your opinion?
I think number one, it's huge building a community. Like it has been one of the biggest factors as to why we've built such a community, because they can speak to me directly through a live. Like they ask a question, I'm immediately answering. And like, it gets to the point where like we have people saying, I love you, Kata. Like you're such an inspiration. I get that too.
Yeah.
But
it'll happen soon.
But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. And then also on top of that, it's of course the offers and the sales that they get throughout the live. We always change it. So like one live, everyone who purchases during this live, if you use the code earrings, you get a free pair of earrings.
Nice.
Or if we do the spin the wheels, whoever purchases throughout the live within the 30 minutes or 40 minutes, then you get to spin the wheel and get something extra. We give like double your order, free hoodies. We give some crazy gifts.
So the perks that you get, the incentives, the deals, the discounts from a customer standpoint, there's some sick ones on live sessions, not as much online.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell our audience a little bit about this room, these machines, what they cost, sort of what happens here.
Yeah. So machines, they vary from a couple of thousand, probably around 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, somewhere around there.
We got four of them?
Yes. We have four currently. We actually just upgraded since Julia has been super doing really well. So we just upgraded to more machines. Mm-hmm. But we have a ton of different products.
That's cool.
And all of these are waterproof too. I think that's like a big thing why customers love them.
There's really no end to the things you can do when it comes to jewelry.
There
right?
is no end. And plus our niche being in the personalized space, it's like anybody can order from us. It's not just for your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's your pets, literally anyone.
And this thing slides out or what? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it does.
I love you. I love you three. Now be good for daddy.
What's it's a spicy one.
I'm not following. I'm slow like that.
That's so funny. It's hilarious.
I thought that's like from a child or a dad or something.
I was like, he's not going to read it. He's not going to read it. That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. I think I'm now getting it. Let's move on. What would you tell your 19-year-old self if you can go back and say, do this or don't do this?
I'd say work harder. Not because I wouldn't work hard, I would work my butt off, especially as a 19-year-old when all of my friends would be out. I'd still be focused on, okay, like at 9 a.m. you start work, 5 p.m. let's cut work and then let's go out with friends or do something extra. Now I'm like, no, I really want to just fully focus on simply just building the business, because so much greatness comes out if you're just fully honing in and like focusing on a bigger purpose. Mm-hmm. So to me, a lot of people will tell you like, oh, you're very young. Why are you working so hard? I've always had this saying that I've told to myself since I was really little, the younger you start, the younger you'll get there. The more that I work, the quicker that I achieve whatever that I want to achieve.
Yeah.
So I don't know what a work-life balance is, guys. Because as a business owner, if you really want to succeed, you can't just be working 9 to 5 like every other person.
We've analyzed over 137 most profitable businesses that you guys can start today. So make sure you get a free copy for yourself by clicking the link in the description below. Is there any advice, Kata, that you were given that did not end up being so useful to your success? Maybe when it comes to inventory or content creation, etc.
I think with content creation, a lot of people have told me focus on quality, like filming quality videos. I've tested both, but for me, it's always been consistency over quality when it comes to like content creation, right? With marketing is everything in your business. If you don't market your business, you can have an incredible product, but if you don't know how to market it, who's going to purchase it?
Right.
So the great thing about nowadays being in social media, it's free. If I could post 20 per day, I absolutely would, and I will, but once I have a bigger team. So
Gotcha.
Follow-up question in terms of how you work with mom. I know mom's quite different in terms of what she focuses on. Can you share anything? Maybe she's more organized, you're less organized. What's the dynamic like?
Totally. So it's actually the opposite. My mom's very scrappy, but in a good way. So she's very scrappy in a way where she's like, just don't focus on being a perfectionist, because perfectionism won't bring you success. Like, perfection is the enemy of success. It's something that I still keep on constantly learning, because, like, you know, as a human, especially as like women, you always want to be perfect in what you do. Everyone always says, don't be perfect, don't be perfect. But a lot of times you want to have things in line to then go into something, into a venture. My mom's always like, don't wait for it to be perfect. Just do it. Better do it than wait forever to put it out.
Yeah.
I love it too, but it's very hard for me to learn.
What are you spending every month on marketing? And what's your favorite platform? Biggest, best ROI?
I mean, it always depends, but somewhere around six figures with ad spend. And then the favorite platform that like performs the best is Facebook, Instagram are usually the top platforms.
So out of all the platforms, and you said Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, which one do you think you'd love to invest in more, but you don't yet currently? Because like TikTok, that's all organic, right?
Yeah, TikTok is mostly organic. We do a couple of paid advertisements, but they don't perform as well. Advertisement world is a separate world. Mm-hmm. So it needs its own statics, it needs its own videos. Usually with ads, with paid marketing, it's more salesy. So I think there needs to be a separation between those two and the way that you make the videos and make the media for them.
Yep, quite different. You've mentioned over and over the importance of knowing your audience. And for you, that's Gen Zers, right? Or Gen Z folks. For those watching who are non-Gen Z people and have a business, what's your advice to them to tap into that audience and speak the language and sell and provide what they're looking for?
I think if you have to do the videos yourself and you're non-Gen Z, then you have to be super authentic and not try to be Gen Z, because you're not, and you're never going to like try to do it in a successful way if you're faking what you're actually like, right? So if you're a boomer, let's say, then go ahead, like try to fit in with the Gen Z, but do it in a funny way where you're not forcing it, right? Authenticity is everything. And whenever I do have like older people that are non-Gen Z come up to me and be like, okay, can you please teach me this TikTok thing? Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, just hire someone. You know, if you're gonna be in a Gen Z platform, you're either gonna need Gen Z or you're going to have to be scrolling on TikTok and knowing the trends and then getting used to it. So it's definitely hard if you're not Gen Z.
What's your typical day look like today? How do you structure it?
Currently, I'm on that crazy 5 a.m. schedule. So I wake up at 5 a.m. I have 1 hour to either journal, to meditate, or to work out, or to read as well. And then after that hour, I get ready. Once I get ready, then I head to a coffee shop and I just like get everything, the to-do list for the day. And then after 1 hour from the coffee shop, I head to the office. From 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., it's nothing, no meetings with anyone other than just purely focusing on content creation. Mm-hmm. Then from 12 to 4 p.m., I have meetings. So meetings at any time with any one of our departments. From that, I go to the gym for about an hour and a half, 2 hours from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then after that, I either go back to a coffee shop to work more, or I go home and I still continue working usually. And then it never stops. And then at 8 p.m. is usually where I shut up everything. I read a book, and then I head to sleep whenever I'm just tired with reading a book. So.
Gotcha. The day in the life of Kata. What's been the biggest surprise for you in running a family business? I mean, mom's involved in you, right? Does dad do anything here? Or
dad does. Dad helps a lot whenever we have any issues with like machines or technical things. My dad usually comes in and helps, but he's not here full time.
And it's your brother, I forgot. So it's you, brother, and mom that are full time here.
Yeah, my brother's doing like the paid marketing and he's doing all the finances. My mom's in production and operations, and then I'm in marketing, and I'm dipping my feet into operations because I'll actually have it as a passion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what are the weird, awkward moments or good things as far as family working together? You guys make it work pretty well?
We do. I mean, we've been through a lot. Like, we've built a successful business together. There's no other way to do it, right? No one's going to drop out. We're all family. Like, no one's going to quit in a family business. At least that's our mindset to it. So no matter how many arguments we have, no matter how bad it could possibly get, Work is work, business is business, and it's not just any business, it's family. And I think experience and time has, I think, deepened our relationship a lot. It's all about respect as well.
What's been the best business advice that you received from parents?
There's been so many. I'm so lucky to have them. But I think one of them that I've learned is pressure is privilege. So to anyone who is feeling burnt out or overwhelmed, every single time that you have that feeling, that means that you're growing. So you should honestly celebrate that feeling rather than really be down about it, because even I know that if I'm crying my eyes out, which happens very, very frequently, by the way, but every time that I'm going through that really, really low level in life, I just remind myself, this is the point where I'm breaking, but that means it's because I'm growing. I am growing and getting used to more bandwidth, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If there's anyone that's pushing you a lot and they're kind of like overwhelming you in a way, like I have my mom all the time, she's like, Kato, you have to be doing this so that you can keep on scaling in a way, or whatever it might be. I know my mom personally does pressure me a lot, and I know and I've learned personally that pressure is privilege. So
awesome.
If you love this story, make sure to check out episode 200 with Bryson, who went from telling jokes on TikTok to building a t-shirt business that brought in $1.2 million in the first 12 months. Like and subscribe. We'll see you in the next episode.